Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. We also know that God has called His church to love Him, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ into this our world. And to that we give our lives, and we give all that we are, for we know that in these three commands, all of the Scripture is summed up. I say this every week. Does anybody know why I say this every week? Because I need to remind all of us of who we are. We are the Heart of Christ Church, and that is what we believe, and that is our vision and our mission into this world, that we would truly believe, know, and be loving God, loving others, and going. That's what God has called the entire church to, not just this little body, but all of the church is called to this very reality. And I thank you all for coming into that reality, and I thank you all for coming into that reality, that you may learn to know and grow in the heart of Jesus Christ, because through Him we find our salvation. Amen? Amen. And to that, we are going to preach this day, because I just did this series on loving God, loving others, and going. But I also need to warn you, we will be at war, because we understand that to be in this life with Christ Jesus, there will be war and peace. One way or another, we are going to find war and peace. We will either be at war with God and at peace with the world, or we will be at war with the world and at peace with God. Because you see, light and darkness cannot have anything to do with one another. We are to be equally yoked upon all things in this world. And either we are walking with God and find peace with Him, or we are walking in the world and find peace with it. However, there is only truly one real peace, because the peace that we find in this world leads to death. But the peace that we find in Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit leads to life. So when we look at this, we need to choose wisely, because we will find that we are at war. Because as we go into this world loving God, loving others, we will find ourselves in the spiritual battle of our lives. And that is not something I take lightly, and it's not something any of us should take lightly. It's something that we all need to understand and come to full grips with when we come to that place of determining, am I going to walk with Jesus or am I going to walk with the world? Because you cannot have both in your life as God. You will either love the one and hate the other. You must choose. And for those of you who are out here in my congregation, and I pray for all of you that are out there on internet land, you have chosen, or perhaps you're choosing now. So may I help you to choose wisely, and may I encourage each of you in your choice that have chosen Jesus Christ. Turn in your Bibles with me, if you will, to the book of Matthew. It's where we're going to begin, because I need us to understand Matthew chapter 5. I need us to understand that Jesus told us that it would be a battle. A lot of people read this and we don't see it. Matthew chapter 5, we're going to be in verse 10 through 12. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 through 12. And for any of you that know the Scriptures and have read through your Bible several times, you know where we are. We are in the midst of the Beatitudes, are we not? We're in the midst of the blessedness. So when did Jesus tell us that we were going to be in a battle when He was going through the Beatitudes? Well, Jesus was laying out the peace of God. Blessed are those, blessed are those, blessed are those. He's showing us the peace of God through life. When we come to that place of receiving Him, the peace we have with God, we are no longer at war with God, but we're blessed because we have taken up the cross of Jesus Christ and we're walking with it every day. But then He also tells us blessed, but He lets us know that it's going to be a battle. Where does He do that? In verse 10. Let us turn to verse 10. Thus saith the Lord. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. We need to understand that this is not a new concept. All of the prophets, all of the men who followed God, who brought the people of God back to God, were at war with the people of God in the very beginning. Why? Because the people of God were still walking in the world. They had chosen the world over God. There's going to be war and there's going to be peace. And as I said, if you are in Christ, if you are in God, you will have peace with Him, but you're going to be at war with everybody else because the two cannot like one another. The two cannot be in the same place. When you walk into a dark room, it's dark, right? Until you do what? You turn on the light. And then darkness flees. It's the same way in our lives. When we enter a room filled with darkness, what happens? The darkness tries to come against it. And we see it. We all see it. We all know it. How many of you have been at family functions where you feel like the odd person out? How many of you have gone to your workplace and just being a Christian, you feel like everybody's looking at me? Or I'm not accepted. I love it when that happens. I really do. Because when that begins to happen, I try to turn up the brightness all that I can. Because I want as much darkness to flee as possible. And I think it's amazing because how many of you have literally seen people in your presence when you come into a room leave? All I have to do is make one comment and 50% of the people in a room will disappear. All I have to say is, oh yeah, I'm a pastor. And it is amazing. It looks like cockroaches heading out of the room in the dark. Boom! It's one of the most amazing things you've ever seen. I have people show up to buy honey at my door, right? Every person that comes to my door knows I'm a pastor. And it's amazing because I can tell the ones who don't like pastors because they never come back to buy honey again. It's funny. It's strange. Am I losing money because of it? Probably. Do I care? No. Because I want them to receive the true sweetness of life, and that is our Savior Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? You see, we're all looking for something, but are we looking for the right thing? Those folks are coming to the door looking for a sweet treat, and boy, I got one, and His name is Jesus Christ. And His sweetness leads unto life and peace with God. And today, that's what I want us to talk about, is the peace that we're going to have with God, but we also have to talk about the war that we're going to have with the world. Because we need to understand that God, in His peace, has given us some thought. He has given us some reality, because Jesus does not want us to just simply walk in this darkness and feel all this persecution. God wants us to be prepared to come against it. God wants us to understand that it's going to be out there and that we need to be prepared as a people. And it's my position as your pastor to prepare you for that very reality. And in that, we have one of the most beautiful pieces of scriptures that tells us what we must do. Because God does not want us to walk around feeling defeated. God wants us to know we are the victory in Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? So turn in your Bibles to what chapter? What book? Ephesians and chapter 6. You all know it. Every one of you in Christ Jesus knows this. And if you don't, that's okay. We're all learning together. Can I get an amen? So everybody turn to Ephesians chapter 6, because here the apostle truly lays it out for us in military terms. He is talking in military terms. He wants us in no way to be mistaken about what he's talking about. Because we are going to be at war with the world, but we have peace with God. And he wants us to be prepared. And that means we have to have an understanding of what is really going on. And that's where he begins in the 10th verse of chapter 6 in the book of Ephesians. Thus saith the word of the Lord. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything to stand firm therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now, most of us think those last few verses is Paul talking about his plight. I'm telling you, it's you talking about your plight. If you are in Christ Jesus, you are in chains to this world. But you have been set free from the chains of sin. Can I get an amen? And this world wants to tie us down. They make all kinds of rules and regulations and blah, blah, blah. Because they want to silence us. But we are to pray, and I want you to be praying for one another that we may speak that word of truth, shine that light of hope into the world, that people may come to know the peace of God. But in order for us to do that, you better understand that Paul here is talking in military terms, in a military mindset. You don't go into the battlefield half ready. You go into the battlefield fully prepared. Now, once you get there, things might get a little hairy. But guess what? If you go in prayed up, prepared, you will return victorious. Because God does not forsake his own. But we have got to take with us every piece of armor that Paul here has just spoken. Every one of us needs to understand that in these things, God is preparing us for the battle that is out there every day. Because while we have peace with God, I'm going to restate this so many times today, you're going to get sick of hearing it. While we have peace with God, we will be at war with the world. Because the one who rules this world, they are the powers and principalities that I spoke of. And how many governments and people in authority have bowed their head to those dark things? And we were told in the book that these things were going to come as we get closer and closer to the day of the Lord, have we not? So it's understanding that. But you were born for such a time as this. You weren't born late. You weren't supposed to be here 200 years ago, and you aren't supposed to be here 200 years from now. You were born here because God has purposed for you to be here. My God makes no mistakes. People make mistakes. God makes no mistakes. So you are where you are for God's purpose, in God's time, in God's plan, and his plan shall never fail. Can I get an amen? When we think about what's going on, and I want you to think about the reality of what I'm trying to tell you. You have more power in your being, fully armored, than over 450 people in this world who don't know God. Pastor, how can you say that? Because if you look at the truth of God's word in the book of Judges, when we speak of Gideon in chapters 6 through 8, God took Gideon and he said, I want you to bring an army. So Gideon gathered 30,000 men from all the men of Israel to go out against 135,000. And what did God say to Gideon? That's too many. Dwindle it down. So he dwindled it down to about 10,000. And God said, that's too many. Can you imagine being Gideon and being told your army of 10,000 is too many for an army of 135,000? God dwindled it down until there were 300. 300 to 135,000 is 450 to 1. When you are fully prepared, when you are fully reliant on God, you have the power of 450 soldiers in you. You are an army of one only in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen? That don't work here on this earth. That only works because of the spiritual principles that we need to understand. When it comes to spiritual warfare, who's fighting for us? God Himself, not us. So when we come understanding we are not fighting against flesh and blood, we have to come with the peace of God towards the people of the world. Because we were people of the world and God came to us with peace. We need to understand it's going to be peace and war. We need to come to war with the spiritual realities, but have peace with the physical people. Because God had peace with us through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Can I get an amen? So we have to understand, folks, that when we look at this war, it's not a war like you and I are used to. It's not a war where we're shooting our enemies and we're killing them. It's a war where we are coming to bring them to life, where we are coming to save their souls in the name of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, just as we were saved. It is a war of peace, where we come with the word of peace, with the hope of peace, with the reconciliation of peace between God and man. You see, that's why the world hates us and calls us haters and bigots and all this other stuff, because they want to shut us up, because we don't come with the wages of war that burn down cities and kill people and rape women and all the things that we see happening out there in our world from all the darkness. Oh, no, but we're the problem. No, we're the answer in Christ Jesus. Because we come with the peace of God, the love of God, the hope of God, the healing of God. And yet our world says we're the problem. Well, to them, we are the problem. Because they're all dying and going to hell. And that's what they want. Because they think that having fun today leads to a better tomorrow. You and I both know suffering today leads to a better tomorrow. Because that's exactly what this scripture speaks. If we are going to walk with Christ, we're going to suffer in this world. We will have peace with God, but the whole time we're here, we're not going to have peace with this world. We are going to suffer. We are going to go through the very things that Jesus Christ went through as He walked this earth. He's our model. And in that, what did He do? I think it's amazing. You know, we just started in our new members class, we just started going over our statement of faith. Because you all know, if you've been with me in that class, we go over the statement of faith because that determines who we are. And in that statement of faith, we proclaim God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Bible, the inerrant Word of God, the hope of all of us. Amen? And from that we find life. But when we look at this world and where the world takes us, this world says, no, throw all that stuff away because it's all about you. It's all about everything you can achieve. It's about all the stuff that you can have. It's about being happy while you're here and getting all the stuff. And yet, how many of those people are really happy because they keep wanting more stuff, don't they? They keep needing more. They're very needy people. But when we come to the heart of Jesus Christ, God gives us peace and we're okay with what we have. In fact, we look around and say, man, I got so much junk. And we all know what I'm talking about, don't we? Because I'm talking about the junk of life. I'm not talking about the stuff in your closet. I'm talking about the junk of life. Yeah, you probably do have too much stuff in your closet as well, but I know I do. I think I've got 50 pairs of shoes and I'm a man. No man is supposed to have 50 pairs of shoes. I'm just some tight, cheap Pennsylvania Dutch guy. I can't throw it all away. Oh, my. You got to laugh at yourself, don't you? You really do. Because in the midst of all this, if we can't laugh at ourselves and say, Lord, I'm a mess. And he says, yeah, but you're on the way. You're on the way. And that's the peace we have with God because there's no condemnation now for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I look at this and I say, but how can I be at war when I'm still struggling with the things that this world's dealing with? He said, that's why you're a good example. Do you all hear me say that? That's why you're a good example, because you're not fake. You let everybody know your failings. They see who you are. They hear you complain, and yet at the same token, they hear you say, Jesus is good. And these folks look at you and, how can you say that? This, that, and the other is going on in your life. Yeah, in this life you will have troubles, but take heart, for Jesus Christ has overcome the world. And that is our peace. That is our hope. That is our joy. But we have to be prepared. We have to be fully immersed. We have to be in the Word. We have to be in the blood of Jesus Christ. Because if you're not under the blood of Jesus, you're going to come under the blood of the world. What do I mean by that? This world exacts blood too. You do understand that, right? You will die. And that's a blood sacrifice. When you die, you are dead to God. But only in the blood of the Lamb do we come to life. Jesus Christ is that blood. He is that peace. And today we're going to observe it. And yeah, we're going to do it during sermon. Congregation's already been warned. You haven't. This is the first time in my 25 years of preaching. Actually, it's 28 years of preaching now. That I have been asked to do communion during a sermon. The Lord literally spoke it to my heart. I want you to do communion during a sermon. But Lord, I'm preaching about war and peace. He said, yeah. And what brings your peace? Oh, my Savior. He brings my peace. He is my peace. But I need to tell you, we can't just play at this game. We have to look at the reality of what's been going on because we've been given a new command. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. We have been given a new command. And that new command must be heeded by each and every one of us who is in Christ Jesus. We need to realize that we can no longer march by the way of this world, but this new command now controls all that we are and who that we become. Because again, I said, here Paul is speaking in a military term. He's letting us know that you're entering into a battle here. You've been in a battle. You've been at war with God. But you had no idea while you were in the world that you were at war with God. But now you're going to see the battle lines. But you need to receive this command so you can go forward into this battle and fight to win your own salvation. You don't win it, but pursue it unto the end and then hopefully bring others along. From chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. I thank God whom... I need to make sure I'm in chapter 2. Yep, chapter 2. Sorry. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ. No soldier is in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. What did Paul just say there to us in the book of Timothy? What he just said there to us is this: you and I are to suffer hardship as soldiers of the cross. We need to understand that these things that are coming at us, this is the battle. How many of you understand that this is the battle? This is the spiritual battle that we're all in, each and every one of us, and that we are to no longer entangle ourselves with the things of this world, but we are to turn instead to the commands of God. This world tells us, do this, do that, do the next thing. What does God tell us to do? He says, follow me. Love God, love others, and go. Aren't those the three commands that we've been given? And in them wraps up all of the Scripture. So, we need to be in this book. Can I get an amen, church? Because if you're going to understand those three commands, you need to know what's in this book. That means you need to be a person of the book, understanding that we have a code of conduct. Because we are competing in this thing as an athlete, Paul says. And an athlete only wins the prize when he competes by the rules. Nobody cheats their way into heaven. Can I get an amen? We come only by the blood of the Lamb. You and I cannot do anything to get in of our own. It has all been paid for by Jesus the Christ. You know, it's amazing because all these other world religions out there say, well, if you're good enough, do all this, do all this, do all this, and if you're good enough, at the end, we might let you in. How many of you are going to give your life to something like that? A lot of our world does, because that depends upon you. But then it also means that the one who's judging you has final authority. Well, guess what? In Christianity, we believe the one who's judging us has final authority also. But the amazing thing is that one who has final authority is also our Savior. And when we accept the payment that He has given on our behalf, we are free from that judgment. Because He cannot have a conflict of interest. He cannot be your attorney and judge at the same time. Where do you think our court system gets this stuff from? There's nothing new under the sun. These things have been ordained by God. And yet God is our Savior in this world. And in the eternity, He is our judge. So we need to understand that He came as Savior once. But He's coming again as King. And when He comes as King, it's over. There is no more salvation. That's done. It's only judgment. So we are either at war with God and at peace with the world, or we are at peace with God and at war with the world. And when we understand this command, we must follow the rules. And the rules here do not tell us to destroy people, do they? The rules here tell us that we are to love others. As God has loved us, we are to love others. We are to bring the very peace that we know to the world, because if we don't bring that peace to the world, we are not bringing Jesus Christ. Now, does that mean I have to accept everything that this world throws at me? No, absolutely no, absolutely no. We reject it, but we don't reject the person. We must allow them room to change. How many of us have had to change? Every one of us. None of us are the same as we were. We're all different. Different from when we came, and yet there's still more change that needs to come. Can I get an amen from the church? And in that change, may we be found, and may others find Christ also. Because He meets us where we are. He finds us in the mixed, and He offers Himself up. He says, you don't have to get cleaned up. Just come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What is that rest? The peace of God. That we're no longer fighting Him, but we will be fighting the world, because the world's going to come against us to try and take that peace away and have us reject it. But may we also remember that God has told us that we need to make sure our talk and our walk line up. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 10, 1 through 11. 2 Corinthians 10, 1 through 11. Brother Daniel taught me this a long, long time ago. And any of you who have been with us for some period of time now, y'all know who Brother Daniel is. And y'all know also how much that man influenced my life. He was a wonderful mentor and teacher, brother. I miss him, but I will wait the day when I get to see him once again. Amen. From Corinthians, chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. For I do not want you, again, chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. That's chapter 1, book 1. I'm sorry, I'm reading that and I'm like, that ain't right. And then I heard y'all say, that ain't right. I am so glad I have a congregation that speaks up. Because when you just sit there and listen, I will show you that I am not God. Don't you forget it. Chapter 10, 2 Corinthians, verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself urge you, there it is, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I, who am meek when face to face with you, but bold toward you when absent, I ask that when I am present, I need not be bold with the confidence with which I propose to be courageous against some, who regard us as if we were walking according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses or strongholds. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing that raises up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. You are looking at things as they are outwardly. If anyone is confident in himself that he is Christ, let him consider this again within himself, that just as he is Christ, so also are we. For even if I boast somewhat further about our authority, which the Lord gave for building you up and not for destroying you, I will not be put to shame. For I do not wish to seem as if I would terrify you by my letters. For they say, his letters are weighty and strong, but his personal presence is unimpressive and his speech contemptible. Let such a person consider this, that when we are in the word by letter, when absent, such persons we are also indeed when present. When we read those words, that very last thing is, my walk and my talk are going to match up. I'm not just going to talk the talk to you. I'm going to walk the walk to you. Because we need to walk it and talk it. Because the world knows when we're fake. The world knows when we don't believe what we're saying. Because the evil in our world is far more powerful than any individual human being. But when we walk in the power of Jesus Christ, when we are that very reality, that we are peaceable people, but when we come and when we are there, if these people will not come to that place, then we take the authority that is ours against the powers and the principalities that be, and we set up the resistance to these strongholds in our lives. You and I need to walk the walk and talk the talk. not just talk the talk and walk away. The world will see who we are and whose we are. But the only way we're going to walk that walk and talk that talk is to truly walk in the peace and the presence and the love of Jesus Christ. Because there is our strength, there is our power, there is our covering, there is our hope. And that hope cannot be defeated. You know, I think about Brother Mitch the other week. How many of you remember this testimony that he gave? Because we don't understand how powerful the forces of good are in this world or the forces of evil. He said that there was a gentleman that was out giving out Gideon Bibles, and he gave a Gideon Bible to a gentleman, and the guy took the Bible and said, "Well, this is what I think of the Word," and he threw it up on the roof of a building. And they thought, he just threw that Bible away. The very next day, what happened? They're out there on the same street handing out Bibles again, and some guy up on the roof calls out, "You down there, don't go anywhere." So the guy comes running down from the roof of the building, and he walks up to him and he says, "You threw this Bible up there on the roof, and I found it. I was getting ready to kill myself." Who needed that Bible? The guy on the street that threw it, or the guy on the roof who received it? How did God know to get a Bible up there? He used an unbeliever. That's my God. We just sang the song. He's a waymaker, isn't he? He knows how to get done what needs to be done. Are we willing to do what he wants us to do? And in this strange, it may not work out the way you thought. It's not your expectations. It's his. And his ways will always be made. And all we have to do is come under, to sup from him and in him, and find that peace, that hope, and walk therein. So today I'm going to call you. I'm going to call each and every one of you into the peace of God. And I want us to come forward here as we look at this reality. Pete, I'm coming around. I won't be on the little camera, so you're going to have to put me on the big cameras in the back. Because as a congregation, we cannot fight this fight alone. None of us can. We'll never make it. We'll fall, we'll falter. The world will beat us down. There's a reason for the ecclesia, because in the ecclesia we find strength with one another. As iron sharpens iron, so too we are to stand shoulder to shoulder and back to back. But we need to remember there's one place that we have to go alone. We have to go alone, and very real and very personal. Where is that? The Lord invites us, come and sup with me. That's individual. That's on each and every one of us. And as we come, the Lord adds us to his number. But we must come alone. No one can come with us. No one can come for us. Now, we can help one another in this communion if somebody needs help. But when that person receives that communion, it's alone. It's between you and him. Turn in your Bibles for our last scripture of this day, Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Beginning in the fourth verse, the fourth chapter of the book of Philippians, thus saith the word of the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Being anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there be any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. And may I add, always. Amen. As we come to this place of receiving the blessing of our Lord, walking into this time where we understand that we are at war, but we're not at war to kill anyone, but to bring them to life. It takes a turn of good, a turn of hope, a turn of prosperity. And I'm not talking about a prosperity gospel. I'm talking about eternal life. Can I get an amen? There is no better prosperity than life eternal in Christ Jesus with God forever. And our world is going to be at war with us. But it is because of this reality that we all share this commonality of the table, of the sacrifice of our Lord and of our Savior, Jesus the Christ, who is yet to come our judge. Can you see how that song played in today? And he's also the one who makes a way that we may enter in to other people's lives. Can you see why your life was so messed up before you came to him? Because how can we speak to these things lest we know? And the only reason we can speak to them is because we know and we know him. And we have received the peace of God. War and peace. What life is all about. You're either at war with the world and at peace with God, or you're at war with God and at peace with the world. I pray that next week you'll come back to see what it means to fight the good fight, because it's a little different than what our world says it is, and I'm going to delineate that to you. But today, we have come to this table. It is our table of hope. It is our table of power. Can I get an amen? It's also a table of humility, is it not? For we have to remember who we are and what Christ has done for us. So therefore, as we go into this battle, we don't go into this battle heady and haughty. We go into this battle humble and holy. Makes a whole different soldier, doesn't it? But may we remember, this soldier in Christ cannot be defeated. Can I get an amen, church? Let us pray. Father God, we have come to the table, and we have found your peace. And Lord, we wish to spread that peace into this world, not hate, not bigotry, not loathing, but love, hope, peace, reconciliation, and redemption. So, Father, we ask that you would empower each and every one of us to go forward from this place. And for those who wish to walk a life of peace with you, Lord, to consider this truth and reality that we have just shown as the church, the heart of Christ, that we may be a blessing to others and that others may be a blessing unto you. We thank you, Lord, for choosing us. And we bless you for allowing us to walk with you. Empower us now to go into the world, to fight this good fight, and to run the race, for the victory has already been set. And he is Jesus the Christ, our Lord and Savior. And the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry. where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.